Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Wow, man. Praise God. Coffee's good.
Stand with me, would you? Come here. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to a Sunday morning. This is the day that the Lord arose from the dead, and for 2,000 years, His followers have been gathering on Sundays. This is the day. We come to assemble, to meet, to learn, to understand. Well, here you go. A couple pieces of Scripture. We're going to have fun again today. I've been giving this scripture, 1 Peter 1:25. It says, but the word of the Lord endures, and you know. How long? The word of the Lord endures. That's a long time, isn't it? How blessed is it to study something that is eternal? It's never going to pass away. Here's the word of the Lord who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said this. It's in Matthew 13, and we're going to spend some time with this today. Matthew 13, 1 through 10. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, Jesus says, hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Good question. Father, thank you again for this day. Lord, can we ask for your Spirit to fall upon us today? Lord, we ask that the Spirit of living God would fall upon our hearts, our souls, our mind, our spirits. God, help us just to take a deep breath in your presence and to try to get a handle on the world in which we live in today. In a world of chaos, we ask for your peace. We pray for your rest. We ask for your strength. Help us, Lord, today to understand. We pray that you would make this so for the glory of your kingdom, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. And you will be, can be seated. Welcome those online. And blessed be the day. Okay, so this is the third Sunday of 2022. Am I correct? Third Sunday, right? How's your year going so far? How's 22 going for you? Doing all right? How's it working out for you? This last Sunday, I had the privilege of talking with our new police chief. He's a wonderful man. And on Wednesday, we had 40 of our patrol officers out in Irvine. It's good you didn't know that. You know it now, but not, right? And so they had to pull in people from other assignments just to get patrol done because it's important to keep the safest city in America the safest city in America, right? So, guys are out, last week we had a volcano eruption in the Pacific Ocean. Bob Saget passed away, right? That was crazy to see that. Yesterday we had somebody holding up people in a worship service at gunpoint. And the world just keeps turning on and on and on. How's your week? You had a good week? Glad you had a good week. I've shared with you for the last 2 weeks that as I've been trying to ponder this season that we're living in, I came up with the word uncertainty. For the year of 2021, I just call it, man, that was a year of uncertainty. And honestly, I bleed that word into 2020 as well. It's like you can't plan, you can't prepare, it's hard to predict anything, it's hard to get a handle on what's happening, and it's really hard to get good information and make good decisions, because everything keeps changing. It's just been a crazy time on a global scale. My word's uncertainty. I don't know what your word has been for last year or the year before that. But In a world of uncertainty, there's one thing that I know that's totally certain. The Word of the Living God. And I don't say this with emotion, I say this with logic or reason and thought. And then it bleeds. It's funny, the more you believe something and walk in something, you find even more how true it is. When you walk with Christ, this concept becomes a living experience. And that's just the beauty of this. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is amazing. The Word of God is spiritual. The Word of the Living God is prophetic. This book is a library of 66 books written over a span of 1,500 years by three different authors on three different continents in three different languages. And yet it is one message. There's one consistency of thought. There's one consistency of theology, of God, of man, of fallen man, and a Savior, a Messiah coming. The unity and the oneness of this is incredible. And the propheticness of this thing is amazing. How this God says, I'll prove to you that I'm God. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. So when it happens, then you'll know that I'm God. And no other religion in the world, no other prophet can do what God's prophets do. It's fixed in a world that's just crazy. It's certain. It's solid. It's awesome. I got an email last week, and I want to share it with you. With the permission of the person. Hi, Pastor Frank. I wanted to send you a word of encouragement from your message on Sunday. I appreciated how you focused on how the Word of God is the truth that our faith depends on. I have never been a diligent Bible reader. In August of 2020, I started reading through the Bible. And in August of 2021, I finished! There were definitely days that I didn't feel that I was getting anything out of the reading. And there were lots of times when I was checking something off my to-do list. But there were other days when the right verse was there, or when that day someone mentioned the exact verse that I had read that morning. This past summer, when Rabbi Feldman spoke, he mentioned that reading the Bible is an act of faithfulness and that God would reward it. And it completely opened my eyes that my act of faithfulness in reading my Bible every day was one of the things that had gotten me through this crazy time. I didn't always see it that way every day, but I look back and realize this is why I didn't have a mental breakdown or a stress-induced breakdown, even though everything around me was chaos and at times out of my control. It was a way of connecting with God every day, even if I didn't feel an emotional or spiritual connection at the moment. Thank you for sending me this email. During your sermon on Sunday, I felt like the Spirit was nudging me to communicate to you that our church body needs to read the Bible together. That we as a congregation need to spur each other on to be faithful in reading God's Word, every day. And that out of that, God will multiply our testimonies of His work in our lives. I don't know how a church Bible reading plan would even look like, but I just wanted to be obedient to the Spirit and tell you what I felt this last Sunday. That's good, isn't it? That's good. How many of you are in that email? How many of you are in that email? Because I'm in that email. You know, this journey of dealing with this book that's written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors. This is, and yet one God. The Bible can at times be confusing. Sometimes it's hard to read the Bible and you're reading historical narrative of the Old Testament 1,400 years ago. And how does this apply to me? But watch. How hard is it sometimes when you're reading wisdom literature? The Psalms, it's like trying to get a handle on this. And yet God says, if you study this, you'll be blessed. Right? The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God I believe, if God took the time to have this written for us, shouldn't we take the time to read it? And amen. And yet, man, it is a sense of worship. It's a sense of, I'm just doing this because God is God. And yet you look back and you go, man, I was blessed. Last week I shared the recommended, and hey, read the Bible this year. Last Sunday I shared, you know, back, we talked about Isaiah 13 and prophecy and the word of the Lord and even how you can look at that in modern times. And there was, in the 90s, the Left Behind series became radically popular. And if you haven't read it, go read the Left Behind series. Good stuff. You know what? This is a killer book, and I would recommend this one this week. Pastor Frank's recommending books for you this year. This one's called Playing with Fire. This is the book that one of my professors taught. This is a book on hermeneutics or a science of how you study the Bible and how you try to, it's funny, you know, when Jesus was walking with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, he began explaining the scriptures that they've had, and yet he explained it in a way, they understood it, and it says their hearts burned within them as they got God's word, it became real. And that's kind of this, when you can study the Bible and you begin to understand it, your heart burns within you. And there's a science, a logical, reasonable way in how you approach the Bible. And this one's a good one. If you want to really learn how to study the scriptures, this is a great book. I recommend it to you. If it wasn't pandemic days, I'd be telling you guys, take a Sunday school class with me. We'll walk through this. I taught this at Biola for years. It's a great book by Dr. Russell called Playing with Fire, and it just explains this is how you approach reading the Bible to interpret it, understand it. It's a good book, scholarly book. Have fun with it. See, the Bible is supernatural. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's incredible. The Scripture speaks of a Messiah that would come. A Messiah. It says where the Messiah would be born, where the Messiah would begin his ministry, what the Messiah would do. And 2,000 years ago, this Messiah came, and he was born in Bethlehem, and he was raised in Nazareth. At the age of 30, he began a ministry around the Sea of Galilee, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah 9, that those that walked in darkness, a great light would dawn at the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes down and begins his ministry at the Sea of Galilee. And you go to cities like Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida, and you can visit places like Magdala and Gamla, all these ancient cities, they're digging them up as we speak. Jesus spoke all around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus began doing miracles and healings and teachings for like 2.5 years of his 3-year ministry. And then toward the end of Jesus' public ministry at the Sea of Galilee, about 2.5 years into his ministry, as you read the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus one day got up and he went along the side. He was at the Sea of Galilee. It's fun to go there. And people gathered like they did so often. And he went and got in a boat. And he began giving a parable that's revealing. It's sobering. His parable is about the heart of humanity. And in this parable, Jesus spoke about what the message of the Word of God is and the human heart and how they interact. How the Word of God affects people differently. And on the day of his famous teaching by Jesus, you know, people gathered in mass. He pushed off a little bit. He began speaking to them. And I'm sure the people were thinking, here comes another great message, like his Sermon on the Mount, which was so beautiful. And the people gathered and sat. The disciples were probably sitting there waiting. Here comes another message by Jesus. And then Jesus gives the parable of the seed and the soils. Well, we'll read it again. Matthew 13, 1 through 10. Here it is. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat by the lake. And such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into the boat and he sat in it, while all the people stood on shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still others fell on good soil, where it produced a good crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Translation, hey, Jesus, a little different. Hey, Jesus, that wasn't your best sermon. The people didn't get it. That one kind of rolled off the end of the table. That wasn't, why did you do that? Why did you teach that? Jesus says, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. It's been given to you, but not to them. Who's the them? Jesus and his disciples are the we. Who is them? In your quiet times this week, read Matthew 11 and Matthew 12 that builds into Matthew 13. And in the context of Jesus' ministry, it becomes revealing of who the them are. Who the them are. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verses 16 through 19. He says, to what can I compare this generation? The people that he's speaking to, this generation, they're like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus saying, I am the prophesied Messiah of Daniel. I'm the Son of Man, came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proven right by her deeds. Back in the day, maybe if you've been in other cultures, sometimes when you gather in marketplaces, children will gather and they'll play instruments and they'll do certain things in order to get people's attention. Maybe to get money or things like that. And Jesus took what culturally what would be happening in Israel 2,000 years ago, and he says, John came and he sang a certain song and people wouldn't listen. And then the Son of Man comes and I sang a different tune. John was more of a person. John neither ate nor drank, and they killed him. And Jesus ate and drank with sinners, and they killed him too. It's like you can't win, right? Jesus says, how can I compare this generation? It's like the Sea of Galilee is the marketplace, and here's John and Jesus. And people they would see them, but they wouldn't listen. What can I compare this generation to? And then he says this, which is very famous. Jesus says this about 2.5 years into his ministry, coming toward the end of his ministry in northern Galilee, speaking to the people. In Matthew 11, 24 through 20, then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they didn't repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, and those are Gentile cities and these are Jewish, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, man, I love Capernaum. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you'll be down in Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would remain to this day. But I tell you that it'll be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. That's chapter 11. Chapter 12, Jesus is continuing to heal all around the Sea of Galilee. And at one point he casts a demon out of a person. And the Pharisees say he casts out demons because he's the chief of demons. And it gets all into Jesus declares blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's a whole other topic. It's just bad, people. It's just bad. In chapter 13, he gets into a boat. And he turns around and looks into the eyes of the masses of people and tells them a parable about the human heart, their hearts, and compares it to the soil of the landscape of northern Galilee. Jesus looks into the eyes of people who have been given so much. The prophesied Messiah is in their midst doing amazing things. And the people have rejected him in their hearts. See, the King of Kings was rejected. And at that time when they rejected him, the offer of the kingdom was withdrawn. When Jesus goes to the cross, the promise of the kingdom goes with him. And the promise of his kingdom on earth is held until he returns one day, right? And we're supposed to pray for this. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the day, one day when Christ's kingdom rules and reigns on the earth. But until that glorious day, my brothers and sisters, his reign on earth is restricted to the small fields of the human heart, your heart and mine. And as Jesus teaches this parable, the human heart is not an easy field to cultivate, is it? See, look what Jesus says about them. And possibly what he could say about our generation today. See, the disciples came to him in Matthew 10:13, 10 through 18. And they told him, your sermon wasn't good. They didn't get it. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus began, I'm not going to speak to them clearly anymore. He's withdrawing, right? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them, not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have is going to be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables, Jesus says. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Have you ever heard of the prophet Isaiah? Amazing prophet. It says, Isaiah prophesied about this time. I believe it's Isaiah 42. He says, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. Their heart has become callous. After 2.5 years of Jesus doing his ministry right in their midst, their hearts became callous. They hardly heard with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understanding with their hearts and turn. And Jesus says, man, I would heal these people. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you're seeing and to hear what you're hearing. And then Jesus says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. And Jesus began explaining it to his disciples. And we'll talk about that. But before we do, people, there's a message here for you and me today. When you read Matthew 11 through 13 and you hear Jesus, there's a message for us today. 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and began walking in people's cities and towns and homes and villages and touching and healing people and speaking to people, Jesus' purpose wasn't to come to Galilee and shake hands with people like some politician. Hi, I'm Jesus, right? I'm going to Jerusalem to pay for your sins. Just want to meet you on the way. Vote for me, right? Is that what Jesus is all about? I'll give you fire insurance if you say some prayer. Is that all that Jesus wanted from them? Is that all that Jesus wants from us? Say a prayer, accept Jesus. I'll see you in heaven. People, Jesus comes to Galilee and he walks on water and raises the dead. The prophesied one comes. This isn't feeling. This is logic. This is thought. It's true. People, he heals people and loves them with his hands, and he tells them about the kingdom of God, and he asks them to give them his heart, their hearts to him. Jesus asked these people to give him their hearts, their devotion. He expects them to love him back, to respond to his love and his kindness. He expects them to trust him, to give them the preeminence in their lives. What's the number one commandment? Have you read this long enough to know what God's, the number one commandment the Lord has for you? The creator and the creation. What does God want from you more than anything else? Does anyone know? Love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Do you know what God wants from you more than anything else? He wants you to respond back to him with love. That's amazing. He doesn't want you to do push-ups for him. He doesn't expect you to... He actually loves you and wants you to respond to His love. In heaven, it's a relationship. This is what's so important. People miss this. God wants a relationship with us. A love relationship between Creator and creation. It's the heart of God. And that's a mind blower. God wants them to respond. Yeah. My wife gave me this December 16th, 1989. What my wife wanted from me was my devotion and my love, a commitment. She didn't want perfection because I can't give it to her. And I can't be perfect, but I can give her my growth and my heart. What God wants from you is your heart. That's what He wanted from these people. And after 2.5 years of ministry there, 75% of them wouldn't go there. That's amazing. If Jesus came for 2.5 years, did miracles in Irvine, like He had done along the Sea of Galilee, how many people in Irvine, after 2.5 years, would just, that's awesome. And that's it. That's amazing. If you want to take notes of me this morning, just note one before we even enter this. People, Jesus wants our heart and devotion over everything else on earth. Anything else on earth. What Jesus wants from you is your heart and your devotion. That's awesome. See, He's not a show. He's a Savior. He's the prophesied one. And honestly, He gives you His all and He wants you to give Him your all. It's interesting. After 2.5 years, the people of Galilee had gotten callous. And Jesus begins describing their hearts in the parable of the soils. It's like a judgment on them. And He uses the analogy of a farmer, right? Here's a picture of a farmer. I kind of like this one. The people back then would have known. A farmer back then would take about 20 pounds of seed per acre, and they would just take seed and scatter it. It was probably wheat. And a farmer would go out, and the farmer would scatter the seed as they're planting a crop. And they'd throw the seed from the chest in all directions. And Jesus begins explaining the parable of saying, a farmer went out to sow seed, right? The people of Israel, hearing Jesus giving this parable, they were very familiar with what it was because they saw it every day. Honestly, for those of us that are in this room who've read the Scriptures, we're familiar with this parable, aren't we? Aren't we? Who's the farmer in the parable? Does anyone know? Jesus. What's the seed? The message of God, the Word of God, right? What's the seed? The Word of God is solid, fixed, and eternal. It's interesting, Jesus is the Word of God who's become flesh and walked among them. When Jesus spoke, He was speaking the Word of God. That's an incredible thought. And now we read it as Scripture, like this. Jesus says the four soils represents the hearts of the people hearing His word. Contextually, He's speaking about the people of 2,000 years ago and their response to the word of Jesus, right? I mean, the hard soil, roads. The hard soil, the seed falls upon the hard soil. Go back, just show me the road for a second. Go back to that one. See the birds? So the farmer shows seed and there's hard soil that hasn't been torn up, right? Hard soil. It's been walked on. It's hard. It's a hard path. Who would those people be? They'd be the Pharisees. Their hearts were hard. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, religious leaders. They were stuck in their ways. A person who had a hard soil is a person of pride. They're arrogant. I don't need Jesus. People that lie to themselves, thinking that they're a good person, that they're moral because of their religion. Their works. I don't need the cross. I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. You might be, but you're not good enough to go to heaven, friend. How good do you have to go to heaven? Anyone? Morally perfect. Are you morally perfect? Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I can't. I know. Good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. For everyone else that's not perfect, I got good news for you today. Jesus has come. But the person on they're like, they're stuck. They're arrogant, prideful. And they're lying to themselves. It's like Satan comes and steals the word of God that they're hearing. He's the father of lies. People, pride always blocks God. Pride always blocks God. Jesus, when he began his sermon, and he wasn't teaching in parable, when he began his sermon on the mount, he opened with the words, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he begins blessing. The Lord bless you, right? The blessings, we're just singing blessing. The doorway to Jesus is the poor in spirit. Once you realize that I am poor, I'm bankrupt, I need Christ, now you enter into who Christ is. The road is those that they're just so hard they won't even listen. And Jesus dealt with those people. And they were sitting there listening. They were always in the back writing down what he said so they could report what a bad man he was. Because he wasn't holding to their form of Judaism. Right? Hard soil. The hard soil. And then, you know, it's interesting. There's rocks. When you go to Galilee, all over Galilee, it's volcanic. There's rocks everywhere. The rocky soil. There's lots of rocky soil in Israel. It's a volcanic area. And the problem with the rocky soil is it has no depth. And it's kind of cool. In Israel, in Nazareth, we went to this place called Nazareth Village, which is so cool. And they, after these believers in Jesus bought this land, they wanted to recreate what Nazareth would have looked like in the time of Jesus. And once they bought this land and they began creating this land, it's really cool, they found a first century wine press where people would have crushed grapes, where the town in the days of Jesus would have crushed grapes. And Jesus, as a little boy, would have been crushing grapes during this time. And it's like, wow. And the archaeologist said, wow, you guys got lucky and found something amazing. They also found there's a stone quarry there. And up here, next picture, you can see where a carpenter had cut stone out of this limestone because they were building stuff. But do you notice flowers will grow there at certain time. But the soil that's underneath that, there's no depth to the soil. Like, things will grow there, but not very deep. And won't stay there very long. Because there's no depth to them. It's rocky soil. And man, I remember looking at that, and I was thinking, immediately as I saw it, I was thinking of Jesus' parable, the soils. Jesus says that there are people in northern Galilee, they would hear Jesus, and they liked it. They thought it was cool. They're okay with it from a distance. They enjoyed Jesus. They were like fans in a stadium. They might applaud Jesus, but they're not going to get on the field and follow him. And if they do, it will be half-heartedly, and as soon as hard times come, I'm out. There's the hard soil, and there's this rocky soil. And then Jesus spoke of the soil with the weeds, like weeds would be growing up in the fields. The people with the weeds or people that would hear, they would begin following. But the worries of the world and the riches of the world would distract these people and choke out the vibrant, life-changing relationship with Jesus because they get distracted. So there's like good growth growing, but there's weeds growing with it. Here's a picture of wheat with weeds. Can you see the difference? It's just the weeds are there, but there's wheat there too to some degree. And then Jesus said, man, then there's this good soil where the seed is found on a noble, good heart who hear what Jesus is saying and they follow the one who's speaking it. And it just goes deep. And as they begin following Messiah and he begins influencing their life, they begin changing from the inside out, not the outside in, from the inside out. As you begin walking with Jesus, he begins changing your life. And produces crop of good soil, right? See, in Matthew 13, Jesus gave a judgment on the people of Galilee who saw his ministry for 2.5 years. And 75% of them rejected him as the Lord of their life. And it's interesting because he's frustrated with them as he heads to Jerusalem and heads to the cross. When you read from Matthew 13, all of a sudden he's in northern Galilee at Caesarea Philippi. And then he heads in Matthew 17, he's at Mount Tabor and he transfigures, and then he's on to Jerusalem and he hangs and dies on a cross. But these were there was a time when Jesus quit speaking to these people plainly because he was wasting their time, at least at that season. When I read Jesus' teaching, my faith story is in all these soils. I have been all these soils at one time in my life. Which soil are you? What soil do you think you are today? What soil identifies with you in 2022? Do you know that God wants to change you in 2022? Did you know that God wants to change me in 2022? Did you know that God wants to change all of us in 2022? See, I believe what God is doing right now is he's tilling the soil of the earth in unprecedented ways. How do you break up soft soil? Or how do you break up hard soil? What's required for soil to become soft? There's a great verse in Hosea, and this is in the Old Testament. Hosea 10:12 says, God says, sow righteousness for yourselves. Sow righteousness, that's seed of righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. Break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and sows his righteousness on you. God is saying it's time for you to till the soil. Break up the unplowed ground of your heart. See, what's required for soil to become soft? A storm. The soil needs to be broken up. It needs to be plowed. It needs to be tilled. It needs to be shaken. See, soil needs to be broken up so it can receive. Like that, even that Pharisee soil, that hard ground soil, it needs to be broken up. Has a storm been happening across the world for the last 2 years? See, I believe God is plowing the world at this time in unprecedented ways. Whatever soil a person is, God in his own way is getting people's attention. A person who is hard-soiled is a person of pride, right? The way you get a prideful person's attention is to get humbled. And honestly, the last 2 years, God's been humbling humanity in unprecedented ways. God has been humbling the world to some degree. I mean, have you been humbled the last 2 years? Have you? Have you realized that you're not in control? How does that make you feel? Have you realized this? According to Jesus in Matthew 13, the way you change the soil, how does God change the soil of a person's heart? Take notes of me this morning, right? Here comes note number two. How do you change the soil of a person's heart? By listening to the Word of God. See, Jesus, the Word incarnate, was speaking. They'd hear him, but they wouldn't listen. They'd hear the message of God, but they wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't heed it. They weren't listening with intent. They weren't realizing that this is life-changing information. See, there's a difference between hearing something and heeding something. Heeding means I'm listening, like this is important. People began hearing Jesus, and after 2.5 years, they got callous to it. The way you change the soil of your soul is you start hearing the Word of God. The seed will plant. God's humbling the soils. Hear God. Take it in. Sometimes, confession time, sometimes my wife might be calling me and I might be quietly typing on my computer at the office and she might say, "Are you typing?" And I'd say, "Yes." And she'd say, "Could you please stop for a moment? You're not really hearing what I'm saying." "Yes, dear." Click. Okay, now I'm listening. How many people were listening to Jesus, but they weren't listening? He was speaking. They might have been, they had ears to hear, but they didn't hear. The way God changes us is the Word of God. We hear what God is saying. How to have the right kind of soil? By listening to the Word of God. Note number 3. How do you plan to have the right type of soil? By choosing to open your mind and heart to God. There's a time when we say, "I need to hear this. I need to listen to this. I'm opening up my heart. I'm opening up my mind to God. I'm going to be humble in His presence." It's interesting. He says, repent, man. It's amazing that Jesus could do what He did and people's lives didn't change at all. That's incredible. How could you be around a holy man like Jesus, the Messiah, in human flesh, and He would do teaching and healings and doing stuff that's off the charts, and they would sit there and their lives didn't change a bit. They didn't live any differently. Did you know that could happen to people in the church? They grow up in church and they hear it, but it doesn't make any effect on me. They have ears, but they're not listening. This is dangerous ground. You have to open up your mind and your heart to God. Man, do you remember when you first opened up your heart and your mind to God? Because I do. And I was in my early 20s, and I was the hard soil that was getting tilled. And I remember reading Jesus as a skeptic. See, the Word of God, you just read Him, and you tell me. I'll prove Him to you if you open your heart. I'll show you with reason and logic. He's totally real, totally true, totally here. And this isn't a feeling. People, we don't follow God based on feelings. Following God is not a feeling, it's a decision, it's a choice. I choose to, because it's real. I remember the man just sitting there going, man, if I begin to follow Christ, my life's got to change. I remember when I remember the days, man, people, I was a partier, and I abused alcohol and drugs. I sat in the back of police cars in handcuffs, confession time. And in my early 20s, I began searching for Jesus because I was a humbled man. I had friends of mine dying. I almost died. And just, I was kind of depressed. Like everything the world has to offer, it becomes boredom after a while. Emptiness and loneliness and sense of shame and guilt in my life and a fear of death, man, I began reading Jesus. And all of a sudden, I began like not only liking the guy like a fan in the stands, but I began realizing He's the Messiah. And I heard what He says, "Come to Me, follow Me. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross." What He wants from you is the heart. If I give Jesus my heart, what would have to? If you were to give Jesus your heart, what would have to change in your life? People, I got married. That means things changed in my life. If you were to give Jesus your heart, what would have to change? Your devotion. He's not going to like you doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? And I remember sitting there going, man, if I do this, this is huge. And I sat there thinking, if I was to give Jesus the control of my life, could He possibly screw it up any more than I already have? That was my thought. Right? You have to choose to open your heart, your mind to God. You listen to Him. I mean, listen to Him. Prove Him wrong. You'll be impressed. God's all about tilling soil, right? And if note number 4, how to have a right kind of soil. When you stop being a fan and you start being a follower. When you stop being the soil with no commitment and you start saying, "I'm all in." You got to get off the stands. Jesus doesn't want any fans. He wants followers. If you're a fan, you're not right. How do you have the right soil in 2022? You listen to God's Word. You give Him your heart. Give Him your mind. Give Him your thoughts. You jump in. I'm done being a fan. It's like you're dating. It's time to be married, you know? Like, it's time to jump in, right? You know what I'm saying? By being aware of distractions. You know, there are people that hear, but they're distracted by the worries and the wealth of this world, the thorns and the thistles. Hey, quiz for you this morning. What do you have to do for weeds to grow in your garden? What do you have to do for weeds to grow in your garden? Answer? Nothing. They're just going to grow. You got to man, for 2022, the worries of this world are the weeds. The riches of this world are the weeds. You got to clean the weeds out because they'll choke Jesus out of your life. They will choke a vibrant relationship with God because you're so distracted by the worries of this world or the wealth of this world. Interesting. Lori Loughlin, right? Did you guys just read that her house just got broken into up in Hollywood? Thieves broke into her house and stole $1 million worth of jewels. Anyone go read this today? And they have the, you know, people on cameras, they broke into them. And she says, after my friend Bob Saget died, it gives me perspective on my jewels. Bob Saget died of a heart attack, 65 years old. You know that, right? Full House? America's Funniest Videos? Right? Lori Loughlin, that was my friend, and he's dead. Hey, someone broke into your house and stole $1 million worth of jewelry. It doesn't matter. Because my friend's dead. Perspective. It's funny. So, Cindy and I were talking about this. So, I'm a motorhead, and I keep cars running until they die. Okay? And my wife's car had gotten so bad to where I'm like, Cindy, if you just pop the hood and take a hammer and smack the terminal. And and I'm like, okay, and it's got issues and problems, and I finally realized it's over. And so we got rid of a car, and I did Dave Ramsey, don't buy, you know, no money. I bought a car with cash, used car, did ABCD, did everything right that was supposed to be done. We had about 2 months, and the transmission's acting up and going out. It's at the shop. And Cindy's going, I miss my car. It was like, you know, guys, my car had a cassette deck in it. That's how old it was. Okay? Now, have you driven a new car lately? The phone just pops in. It's playing your music, and you can call people, and the seats are nice. And, man, this thing, and Cindy's like all, and she's like, man, I felt so good. And now it's at the shop, and now she's back driving her old, you know. I have to lift it up. This is terrible, right? And we just laughed because I had a Becker 7.4 round nose surfboard that we got married right when we first got married. I bought a brand new surfboard, and I love that round nose. It was an ultralight, and it was so bad. And I've told you this story, but when we were first married and we had an apartment in Irvine, I'd say goodbye, honey, I'll miss you today, and I'd walk right past Cindy and I'd kiss my surfboard just to piss her off. And then I kissed her too. First time I went out surfing, I tore the whole front end of the board off. Smashed into the rocks. And for the rest of my days, I'd look at that with the patch job on it, and I'd hear Jesus saying, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn, man. And all your material wealth, it's all for a season, man. It's all here today and gone tomorrow. If you're living for money, wealth, there's no hearse. Behind a hearse, there's no U-Haul. It isn't going with you. What matters? It's Christ. Christ alone, right? Man, sometimes the worries of this world or the riches of this world can choke Jesus out of your life. What soil are you? Man, and if you have a soil that's growing with Jesus and you're in that relationship, you know what He wants from you? Keep going. Keep abiding in Christ. Keep growing with Jesus. Jesus has more things to teach us all the time. The fruits of walking with Christ. Man, you don't just sit there and say, hey, I'm doing good. Imagine if I was married and I'm like, yeah, my marriage is now on autopilot because we're doing good. No. You keep growing. Keep maturing. Fruits. Do you know what the fruits are of walking with Jesus? The harvest of walking with Christ. Paul gives a list in Galatians 5. The fruits of walking with Jesus is love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's joy. Man, you walk with Christ, God will give you love for people that you never had. You walk with Jesus, He'll give you His joy. And He's the most joyful being that's ever existed. He gives you peace. You walk with Jesus, like this person that shared the email. If I hadn't have been just walking with the Lord, I think I would have had a nervous breakdown. But Jesus will give us a peace, a forbearance, a kindness. Man, the world needs more kindness these days, doesn't it? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you walk with Jesus, He changes you. These are an outward expression of an inward reality. God is just doing a good work. The best way to walk with Jesus is to listen to what He said. Study His Word. In the new year, people always have like New Year's resolutions. You know, New Year's time, people begin doing assessments and how their life is and this and that and the other. Matthew 13 is a great assessment for 2022. How's the soil of your heart in 2022? Which soil are you? Which soil are you? Did you know that God wants to change you in 2022? God wants to change me in 2022? God has a goal for your life in 2022. God has a goal for my life in 2022. God has a vision for your life in 2020. God has a vision for my life. And you know what that vision is? Is to get as close as you can to Him and be changed in His presence. That's His goal for you. And His goal for me. And I think God's just tilling the soil of this world. That's what I think He's doing. Man, it's crazy. I went to my dentist on Friday. And my dentist is a USC grad. He's a good dude. I like him. Yeah. He's humbled. Hey, pastor, you know, man, crazy times. Talking about his sister-in-law's brother that died and them trying, he goes, man, I even went to Hawaii last year. It wasn't the same when we finally could go. It's just there's a different feel. He's humbled. God's humbling everybody. Has God humbled you? Has God got the attention of your heart that you are not in control? I mean, God is tilling the soil, and I know what He's after. Whatever the season of prophetic world that we're living in today, before the second coming of Messiah, He's tilling the soil because He wants us all. See, God wanted 100% of the Northern Galilee area, but He only got 25. That's amazing. And honestly, for me, I look at these soils and I'm like, Jesus, which one's me? Can I give You the heart of Jesus as we close? I'm going to give You the heart of Jesus as we close. In Matthew 11, after Jesus judged the cities in which most of His miracles and teachings was done, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. As Jesus was ending His 2.5-year ministry in this area, as He was heading to the cross in Jerusalem, and He just said, I cannot believe the hearts of this generation. At the end of all of that, He says this in Matthew 11. I want you to look at these words. Maybe you could heed these words. Listen to these words. Matthew 11, this is what Jesus says. Right after judging Him, he just throws His hands out. Come to Me. Come to Me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, take My yoke, or My teaching, My authority, upon you, and you learn from me. I don't learn from you, you learn from me. I'm God, you're not. I know everything you think you do, but you don't. Take my authority on you and learn from me. For I am gentle, Jesus says, and humble in heart. And Jesus says, I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus says, you follow me, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's the invitation to people that had gotten so callous, and even when they are walking away, he says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. In 2022, Jesus wants you to come to him. No games. No religion. You bring your heart and your soul. What he wants from you, and he'll take nothing less. Come to me. Learn from me. Sit at my feet and learn from me. For I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and I will give you what you need. Will you listen? Can you do this the third Sunday of 2022? Open hand. I got nothing. Lord, the world is a mess. Lord, I'm struggling with the worries of the world, the riches of the world. I'm just coming. I'm opening my heart. I'm opening my mind, my thoughts. I'm opening your word. I want you to teach me, speak into my life. Jesus just wants you to come to him this year because he wants to change you. But the only way he's doing that is if you just humble yourselves in his presence and say, I'm in. That's what he wants. The word of God will change you. The soil, the seed of Jesus' teaching, when he falls on your heart, what's soil of your heart this year? What do you want it to be? And what are you going to do to make it soft? Or are you going to make him pound you into the ground a bit more? Right? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Jesus, I pray that we in this room, we that hear this message, would have ears to hear. That we would have ears to hear. As we stare into the pages of your teachings, may we have eyes to see. I ask God that you would touch our eyes that we might see, and touch our ears that we would hear. And Lord, if we're too stubborn to hear, then may your will be done. God, we ask for your work in our lives. God, I pray that you would just prepare us for whatever's about to happen. I kind of think uncertainty is going to bleed into 2022, don't you? I think so, Lord. There's one thing that is certain. It's you, period. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the prophesied one, the Messiah. And you are amazing. And you come for us because you love us. And God, you want our hearts. You want our devotion. That's what you seek, and you'll take nothing less. For you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, speak into your people this day, I pray, for your glory and for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.